Welcome back to the Crooked Spine Show. Today we talk to trainers at Upland Sports Arena about their CB3 soccer training program. This helps kids ages from 3 to 23 years old learn the skills at their level to become competitive and actually enjoy playing soccer. As I went through this talk with these three trainers, they're all, I think, in their late teens or early 20s. A lot of it is they understand kids at different ages, maybe 3 to 7 years old, 7 to 12 years old, teenagers, or even early 20s too. They understand how to get them to become a better, one thing, athlete, but also a better person. Younger kids get to learn how to work with teamwork, understanding that sometimes making a mistake or a bad pass in their sense isn't end of the world for one. And as a teenager, how do you get stronger? That helps you not only physically, but also emotionally too, so your body grows healthy and strong. And at the older levels too, how to get colleges and coaches like that to see that you are a college potential player for one too. So these young kids, I call them because I'm in the mid 40s, these whippersnappers, they understand how people's mindsets are, these players and kids, understand how to get them to become a better person, better athlete overall. All right, let's start talking. At the very end, make sure you do the show notes. The last two show notes before my wrap up will give you clues, especially looking at a college level, how to become a college player, what coaches look for, and also to the thing that's going to set you apart from other players at that level. All right, so make sure you listen to the talk, go to the show notes, and I will talk to you afterwards. That's Dominic Krabs right next to you guys.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
I am Dr. Tony Crooked Spine Show here. Here with Nick Richard, the owner of Everything Else We Do. Introductions first. We're here basically to talk about youth athletics. That's the key. Okay, we want to make sure everyone understands that as a parent myself with teenage kids now, but even kids, patients that I have that have youth kids, how do we get our kids to train properly at the right facility with the right trainers? So one thing, they get healthy, but also they build confidence, self-esteem. That's my huge thing. Every talks I do, confidence, self-esteem, I don't care if you're 5 years old, 15, 20, or as young as these guys, we need that confidence. At that point, our overall lives down the line, we can actually do things that are outside our comfort zone and enjoy them, all right? So introduction first. Again, I'm Dr. Tony Rakovic, host of Crooked Spine Show. Let's go from my right to my left.
Coach Paymon.
Okay.
Coach Chase.
And I'm Coach Ibra.
And how long have you guys been coaching for?
I've been coaching for about 6 years now.
Wow, okay.
I'm in going into my second year.
Second year, okay.
I'm going into my fourth year.
And did all you guys play sports beforehand, before you came here?
I've been playing soccer since I was like 5.
Okay.
So that's 17 years now.
So you've seen like about 12 years of soccer then. Okay, and then go ahead.
Yeah, I've literally been playing soccer since I can remember, since I could walk.
Fantastic.
I was just kicking the ball around my house or running around playing ASO and eventually up to higher levels.
That's great.
Yeah, me too. Growing up, just TV was always, soccer was always on TV. I was playing soccer, kicking balls everywhere. I mean, since I was 5, 6, yeah.
Wow, okay. And now as coaches, as trainers, is it different from this side of viewing it for one, two? What do you guys think?
I mean, I definitely think it's different because there's always times where I want to be the one doing what they're doing.
Yes.
So I feel like I obviously have a different mindset than what kids are doing.
Okay.
And, you know, sometimes you get upset because they do it one way and I want them to do it a different way. So that's, you know, definitely a different view.
Has it taught you patience dealing with kids that you were once your age before too, many moons ago?
Big time. That's also something I think about as well. Like, I was at that point one time.
Yes.
So it's good to, you know, reflect on that for a little bit and not freak out on them. So
it's amazing when you have that perspective. Okay, how do I go from where I was before as an athlete, as someone on the field, pushing myself at my age and seeing me ramp up to, say, 6 miles an hour when these kids sometimes are going at 5 miles an hour, 10 miles an hour for one or two? How'd be your experience, guys?
Yeah, my experience has definitely been altered, especially from watching kids make mistakes. That's the biggest thing for me.
Okay.
Mostly got to let them make mistakes. Even as a coach, you want to prevent it. Every time they make a mistake, I want to stop and say, nope, this is what you do. This is what you're doing wrong. But the biggest lesson for me coaching has been realizing that the best way for them to learn is to make mistakes, not overcoach them. Kind of step back, let them learn, let them feel the disappointment, let them feel that, and then they can move on from there.
And besides disappointment, what else are they learning in that moment when they make a mistake?
I think they're learning character. I think they're learning that in life, not just in soccer, in life, you're going to get down. But
yes,
being a good player, being a good person, it's not about how far you go down. It's about how you pull yourself back up from there. So when you lose the ball, are you going to put your head down, let the other team run by you, or are you just going to pick your head back up, move on with the game, get the ball right back in play.
So you almost see their emotion and go, okay, how does that, in my sense, how is their response? Then from there, how do I pick them up and make the learning experience for them?
Exactly.
Great, Greg. And one more?
Yeah, I mean, now we're the teachers, right? We teach the kids how to play the game. We teach them the basics, really. And we really want them to be great on the field and off the field. That's what we really want to teach as coaches. That's basically it.
And looking at these kids, too, what age groups are you guys working with right now? What's your field like? What do you guys...
During the fall time, I work with high school kids.
Okay, so high school?
Yeah, all year round, it's more like 8 to 14.
Okay.
Yeah.
8 to 14, and then you guys, same thing?
I go really young, actually. I do young kids as young as 3, and at that point, it's not really soccer, but...
You are brave. You're a brave soul. I would never touch that. Wow.
Yeah, I do kids as young as 3, and then towards the fall and spring, I work more with high school boys.
You can make a great dad someday. You have the patience. You've learned patience now.
Oh, yeah.
The last one?
Yeah, ages 6 to 18.
6 to 18, good. 6 to 18. And that's the thing. You're getting trainers that, may look young, but they've dealt with kids, had the experience with kids, and obviously, as you've seen already, this short time we've been on the podcast and on the video, is really understanding these guys are in there for just make sure your kids become better people. And not saying that you can't do the good job yourself, too, but when you're away from their parents, what else are they learning? And learning it even before they start school, basically education in kindergarten for one, too, are they learning things that allow things to improve their lives over time so they go into school or other things and have that confidence, self-esteem? And when you talk about, let's start with the younger ones too. At 3 or 4, it's not really like team soccer. What are you trying to teach them? What do the parents want to get out of it?
We're trying to teach them how to work as a team, basically.
Nick,
how to work.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Keep going. Go on.
I'm trying to teach them how to work as a team, how to work with other people, because at that point, it's not just, it's kind of kick a ball and run. But we're trying to get them used to, all right, sometimes somebody's going to take the ball from you. Sometimes you're going to have to pass the ball to your teammate.
Okay.
Sometimes you're going to miss your shot. Sometimes you're going to kick and completely miss the ball.
Nice.
And fall on your face. But we got to pick you guys right back up and keep going, because it's for the love of the game. We're trying to teach them that the game's about passion, the game's about joy. Because even as you get from 3 years old up to playing, this guy's playing in the World Cup.
Crazy.
Everybody's playing the game because they love it.
And that's what we're trying to teach them. Passion you want. You want to get into that or even something else too. How long is your session with these kids? How many weeks or how many months? With these, say, 3 to 5 year olds.
3 to 5 year olds, we go about 13 weeks,
okay.
And the sessions are only 15 minutes, and we give them a lot of water breaks because at the end of the day,
they
are 3. So we get them going quick, fast for a little bit, and then we go get them a water break, kind of let them recharge a little bit, and then they come right back in and we go 100% again.
That's awesome. And what is the parents' response to when you train these kids, say, 3-4 weeks out? What are they kind of saying, or what are they getting into your ear about?
They're mostly saying, like what I was just talking about, it's their first experience working as a team.
Good.
So it's kind of, we got to really ease them into that team. I'm not going to get on them too hard about anything, but it's more character building at that point too. It's about equal parts character building as it is soccer.
So we try to
teach them to make mistakes, work together, share, just like you're playing on the field.
Then
eventually, as we move on into the season, I start teaching them more about technique and stuff like that. But we got to get the fundamentals of you're part of a team, you're part of something bigger.
And do you see these kids progress, say you've been here a few years now, progress to where they get older and still want to play and want to do more and more and more?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Every
kid, towards the end of the season, every kid is just asking me as soon as we come out. They say, what are we doing today? And I tell them the drills. They say, can we just scrimmage? I just want to play.
That's awesome.
The entire 50 minutes, they don't want to come off the field. So as we pick up, the practices get more intense, but the kids start to expect more.
And you're getting kids that are playing, say, at a 5 mile per hour speed,
mm-hmm.
to 7, to 10, to 12. So they're seeing the progression as they grow. So it may not seem as fast to them because they're keeping up with the speed at the same time.
Yeah.
They've increased their growth with the game. As the game speeds up for them also.
Yeah, and I always progress my sessions. It gets a little harder each week. Like instead of saying pass the ball, I say, all right, you can only pass the ball with your laces this week or your inside.
It kind of gets them thinking a little more. You're training them without even training them. They're making it more fun for them.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, that's great. And then going from, like, say, 5 to 10 years old, which one of you guys kind of works with them more? 5 to 10 years old.
5 to 10, I would take Paymon or Chase.
Okay.
I would more of the olders.
Okay, so let's go 5 to 10.
with the 5 to 10 year olds, I mean, I do CB3 stuff.
Yeah, exactly. What is CB3 stuff?
CB3 is Carlos Bocanegra 3 is the program's name.
Okay.
So it's like an hour session.
Okay.
right now they're currently like small groups, anywhere from 2 to 4 kids.
Got it.
And they're like about the same skill set, so they can press, you know, they can make each other a little better by, you know, challenging each other. But those are our sessions, and, you know, same thing with little guys. We give them a lot of water breaks because we make them go hard.
You push them, right?
Yeah, push them hard, give them a water break, let them get back together, push them hard again. And
so it's more about maybe not the conditioning as much as the training, the skill, learning the skill itself.
Yeah, so with me, more like just the skill stuff. So they're a little older now. They should, you know, kind of get more of the basics down. So now we're trying to get their skill level a little better, like the technique's better down, the skill moves better,
good,
all that kind of stuff.
So they're moving around for a lot, too. They're learning things here and there. And you, is it more field work, some goalie work? Is it a combination of both with the CB3?
Yeah, for the most part, it's more field work than goal work stuff because we don't really have goalies in there. But they do take plenty of shots because they want a lot of repetition with these with CB3.
Fantastic.
So
is CB3 a league per se, or is it more of a training to get to become a club soccer player or a school soccer player, get performance up
exactly,
that way?
Yeah, so CB3, we're trying to get them to get to their next goal. So if they're starting, let's say, like NASO, they want to move on to play on like a club team, that's where we're trying to, you know, get them to go to. If they're on the club team, they're trying to make our high school team, that's what we're trying to make that
jump. So kind of get that jump to where they get the skill level up and the confidence up. Hey, I can do that now, I can do that, I can do that now.
Exactly.
Do you see the success rate with that happening where the kids are jumping up to that level?
Big time, yeah.
Okay. How long have you done the program here for?
I've been doing CB3, I think, a year now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And you've seen that progress already, even that 12-month period, too. Okay. And going to the older kids, too, how do you change their workouts, their routine, to make it fun for them?
And for them, it's really about perfecting their technique.
Okay.
At that age, I think they already have their technique down. It's just about perfecting it. So we do a lot of maybe the same things every week. So I do a lot of dribbling, passing, shooting every week. It's a lot of that, but I just do different drills every single week, so it's not the same thing, and they're not getting bored.
So it's more of going from having fun, learning a skill somewhat, to building the endurance up, to where all these kids can actually last a whole game and not get worn out. And as you know, in club or even in school soccer too, sometimes you're playing tournaments where you're playing sometimes 2-3 games a day.
Right.
And it's not indoors like your great facility here.
Right.
It's outdoors where you're playing in sometimes 100-degree heat.
Right. Yeah.
So you have to be able to maintain that endurance, that stamina the whole time.
Yeah, kids got to be in shape.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. And I think some parents don't understand is that training, when parents go, or when kids come home and they go, man, I was beat up today for my training, parents should go, fantastic, getting my money's worth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Not like, well, it was too tough for my kid.
No. I think a lot of parents are actually happy that. When the kids come out sweating, you know, they're like, oh, great job, coach. You got the most out of my kid.
And they're seeing that result, like you said, in the high school setting, in a club setting, in the next level setting, maybe even just an ASO too, where they're getting that performance up. So again, their confidence, hey, I can hang with these other kids.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Phenomenal. Good, good, good. And with your CB program too, is it open to, is a certain age range, or what do you guys focus on here with CB3 for the training?
I believe our age range starts at 6.
6,
and
okay.
We go all the way up.
So yeah, higher,
we've had an MLS player come here.
With, what the heck?
With Coach Jimmy.
Okay.
Two MLS players, I believe. Two MLS players, and they trained with them to, you know, just even keep their progress all together.
So training is not just for, say, kids or teenagers, also for adults too, and adults that perform at a high level to get paid to play soccer.
Yep.
Just phenomenal. Wow. Okay. That's great. That's a great way to look at things. Okay. How do I get to that point? Having kids or having adults come in like that too, kids can actually progress and go, that's my example of what I want to be in the future also. Great. And with kids, we talked about going to the field and playing outside of here. How do you train them, like you mentioned, the water breaks, to train them to worry about stretching, worry about staying healthy, worry about injuries too? What do you guys do for that usually?
Well, for me, I always start off light, and I build my sessions up really, really slowly.
Great.
We start off at the
beginning. Warm up.
Yeah, I focus on warm ups. I always tell them, stretch. Even if they do a move wrong, I always tell them, I'm not telling you to do a move wrong because of this. It's just I go into the physical part because you're going to pull a muscle, you're going to do something like that. So I constantly stop the sessions. And most of the time, I'm not going to put them on the line and run them or anything, but I explain to them, if you're doing it right, if you're giving 100% throughout the sessions, that fitness, that endurance, you're going to get stronger. That's going to come. So I always start off in the beginning with just a little light dribbling, and then we do some stretching, then I do a little quick feet, and then they run just to build them up slowly, get their muscles warm, because I don't want them to go anything going
too fast.
Especially
with little tykes too, you're getting the kids. The kids are probably pretty good overall.
Mm-hmm.
I can get them warmed up and they're ready to go.
Right.
Yeah. And at that point, you're training them, so down the line, when they become a little bit older, when their bones start growing more, especially knees, ankles, and hips, they may have to change the way they run, they work. Do you guys work with that too when they get a little bit older, say between 5 and 10 years old? to where you see that progression to where, okay, sometimes this kid might pull a muscle. I have to make sure I do extra work with them too.
I personally haven't really
looked into that, so
can tell you on that one.
Yeah, a lot of people, what I've seen in the past that work with trainers before do that, do athletes, maybe baseball or soccer especially, is when a kid gets between probably 5 to 10 years old and 10 to 15, as you probably see older too, sometimes their running technique and their style may have to change to adapt to the different body, especially in girls too. So overall, as their bones grow, the outer part of the bone, the knee itself and even the hip and ankle, that part becomes very soft and actually has to become soft to for that bone to grow and then calcify over time. That period of time, someone can hurt their knee or hip too. How do you work with that with teenage athletes? Have you seen those injuries come in where you're, okay, I'm going to help this kid train, but he has an injury, I'm trying to get over at the same time?
Right. Actually, I mean, for my high school teams, I actually brought them over here, and the trainer here actually taught them how to stretch before games.
Nice.
So now before games, I just have my captains take the teams. Usually they stretch for about 10, 15 minutes. They do their own thing. They do their jogs. They do their stretches.
So they have a routine they go through every time.
And they taught. Okay. They got it. I mean, the trainer actually taught them, so that's how I know they got.
Good. So they've gone through a program to train them too.
Right.
Good.
Right. So they know what they're doing.
When a lot of it is too, I see all the time where people have to take a season off, and as a parent too, it's frustrating. And how do I avoid those injuries? Sometimes you can't. It's playing sports.
Some kids, sometimes kids get burnt out, and yeah, they do need that season off. But I just think a lot of kids do just want to jump in there and just start shooting, running around. And I think that's how they do get hurt. So they do have to stretch for about the first. I would give them at least 5 minutes just to stretch.
Good.
Get warm, and then they get in the session.
Good. Yeah. And I think that's the key is when kids get older, because they're used to not stretching,
right,
to change that habit is going to be to get them to actually understand, hey, look, how do I do something different? How do I do something different? That's when you get in their head, you're older now, I have to do something different to keep myself healthy. So when as the game speeds up, there's going to be more contact, more physical activity, kids may be bigger than me, I have to realize there's a window, I have to make sure I'm physically ready for this.
Right.
Besides playing soccer and training on the field, what else do you guys recommend for these kids to start doing? Say, especially at the teenage years and also in the high school years, what do you guys recommend usually?
I mean, I know a lot of kids at Claremont High School, because I coach Claremont High School. They do cross country before the soccer season.
Nice.
So they get, you know, they're running down.
So actually endurance is, they're 24/7 basically.
Yeah, basically 24/7. So, you know, a lot of our players are pretty good at running because, you know, they're mostly
that's a
cross
speed
country.
Up. Yeah. That's great. And then how about for your kids too?
I would say definitely get in the gym. Definitely get in the gym. I see a lot of kids are in shape.
Yeah.
They can run 2 miles in 12 minutes. But strength-wise, they're not there. And I think if they want to go play college, go get a scholarship, I think a lot of kids have to get stronger. I just think that's how it is here. In the U.S., you just have to be strong if you want to play college soccer.
Well, the competition is huge.
It is. No, it's.
You know, and you have. And when you say tight, doing weights, is it only weights for your legs or
for
your
upper
lower
body? Upper body too. You have to be strong, upper body and lower body.
Well, it's amazing where sometimes parents just don't know.
Right.
And having parents say, look, your kid is great here, he has good talent, good skills, but for him to compete at a higher level, he has to be physically strong.
Right, yeah.
What I've seen in the past too with my patients and other talks I've done too, when you're stronger, you have less chance of injury.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
You push your body a little bit more at the gym, so when you do a certain move in your upper body, helps your lower body get stronger and get faster, more endurance also.
Yeah.
Your body actually develops faster, not only physically, but also internally also.
Right.
You've seen that overall benefit. So for parents to understand that, your program here allows the physical training on the field, the experience you guys have already, from anywhere from 3-4 years old up to, say, even adults with the CB3, what else is there that they can do to get themselves ready for, say, a college-level type of training? What else could they probably do?
Mine is kind of, it's the easiest one, but you watch the game. It's the most simple thing, because as you start to get older, you're going to get stronger, you're going to get faster, your kick's going to get harder,
yeah,
your touch is going to get better. But the thing is, so is everybody else's.
Yes.
So the thing that's going to set you apart, the thing that sets apart, especially because I coach high school with Eber as well, when we watch for kids, we always tell them we're not looking for the kid that can step over the ball 50 times, do a rainbow, bike it into the goal.
Good.
We're looking for the kid who we can tell knows the game and plays the game as simple as you can. Right?
Wow.
Because if you're just playing easy, then the endurance, that stuff's going to come and you're not going to burn yourself out. That's
done.
Why... players like Ronaldo, players like Messi, they could play until they're almost 40 years old because they think the game and they play the game up top. So if you just watch the game, not for the goals, not for the bicycle kicks, but you watch a player play that plays your position, watch how they move, watch the little things they do. If they take a step to the left, step to the right before they receive the ball, then the game's going to be easier for you. So if you play the game simple, then it's you're going to be a better player.
So by doing your homework out off the field allows you to say, okay, how else can I move? What else can I do? And how do I follow this? So if I get this right, at that point I can work on that skill technique when I'm on the field with my other players and kind of work along. So that becomes more of a potential for me versus I'm worrying about just right now, what's going on right now in my head and what's going on in the field.
Yeah.
When college coaches, if you have experience or not, come and talk to you guys about some of the kids, what are college coaches looking for?
Do they understand the game?
So understanding the game is important. Okay. What does that mean for you?
For me, I mean, honestly, for my teams, I want every single player to be able to play every single position on the field besides goalie. So if you're a right back and I need you to play center back, you should be able to know how to play center back.
You should be able to be a utility player.
Right.
Is center back and right back as easy to switch to, say, a midi or a forward? Or is that something where you'd want to hear and then middies and then forwards? You want to do all positions back
to forward?
Well,
I mean, a right back, center back is kind of easier just because we practice defensive shape at practice.
Okay.
So they kind of know where the center back should go and the right back should go. So that's a little easier.
Okay.
Sometimes we do involve the center middies. Sometimes we don't.
Okay.
So, I mean, then it's kind of harder for them to move up to the right middie, center middie.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
different
type
of game.
They still should know. They still should know because they should watch the game.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. Anything else? Like we covered it. Well, that's the biggest thing is understanding the game, be able to understand where your coaches are. At this point, these coaches, even though they look young, because I'm old, obviously, a lot of it is going to be they have the experience in here with high school kids, which is, I don't know how you do that, guys. It's amazing. I don't have the patience for that. Or 3-year-old, 4-year-old, again, amazing. I don't know what he does. But a lot of it is this is a place where you can train safely in a controlled condition and realize, how do I learn the game here, my skills, gain the passion for it, gain the speed, so as I get stronger and older, the game will keep getting faster and faster, can maintain that speed. And like you had said, understand the game by watching the game. These trainers are good mentors in my sense to get you to understand what else can I do, what else can I do, as either a parent or as an athlete, understanding how to get that point. Okay, anything else, guys?
That's it for me.
And again, this is the Upland Sports Arena in Upland. This is a facility been there for a long time. They've gone through some changes. They have their sports facility for soccer mostly, but they also have volleyball, right? Or actually, no, the sports right now, we're going to other things too. We're going to work on other things on our next videos, but they have the restaurant for the parents also. You can watch the games here too. I turn the TVs off because I'm going to watch the game and get distracted the whole time while I'm watching doing the interview. But realize this is a place where soccer allows you to progress your game as an athlete and as a parent, a place to trust these athletes have ability to help you too, all right? This is our show, Crooked Spine Show with Upland Sports Arena, and we'll see you next time. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you. You guys are knowledgeable, man. I'm like, just, who are these guys?
Hope this talk helped you understand that playing soccer is not just about kicking the ball up and down the field. At a younger age, it teaches kids the ability to work with other kids, understanding failures sometimes are not the end of the world, as middle teenage kids too, how to condition your body on and off the field, become a better athlete, and also that work ethic helps them in the classroom for one too. At the later years, if you're looking to play at college, how to understand what college coaches are looking for, their needs, and how to make your life and your body nice and healthy so over time you play the game simply and effectively for a long period of time. All right, hope you enjoyed this talk. Again, the last two show notes I said before give you the clues what to look for as an older player getting into college or looking at that level to play, and keeping your body healthy is the key. Soccer is one thing you can do. This facility is phenomenal. These coaches are phenomenal. But in the long run, what can you do as an adult to keep yourself healthy? Maybe playing a sport, doing an activity, going bike rides or runs or jogs, so your body stays healthy. So like these kids, we can tolerate more stress, keep your body healthy physically, mentally, and stay strong. Okay? And again, go to our show notes too. We have places to leave a review on iTunes if you want. Even go to our Facebook page where this podcast will be connected to, our Crooked Spine Show Facebook page. At that point, leave comments, leave notes, leave questions if you want to. At the bottom of the show notes, too, will be links to this full video of the podcast and also our other podcasts, too. So go to those. Learn how to live a simple, healthy life. All right, have a great day, and we'll see you next one.